Blog Talk Radio.
She went all over the world. She was looking for love. Searched the sea, the sky, and all the stars above. But nobody told her love can never be found. It's like the sun, you see, it's all around. It's free, easy, and it's not some rare occurring thing lately. There's so much more I'm thinking of. It's only love. It's only love. It's only.
I'd like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio Independent Music Showcase. This is our August the 7th, 2019 show. My special guest tonight is Joseph Eid, and you can I like to put the websites out there before I forget about them. Joseph Eid, E-I-D, music.com. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, John. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. I was going to play the song that you, the new song you have out, but Only Love popped up, and that's such a really cool song. So sometimes it's good when things happen, and I don't plan them. But I think we talked about that song, and it's got such a nice. Is that a steel pedal in there?
Yeah, it's a pedal steel, and it's being played by Vern Monet, who is an excellent musician in town, and he played on a bunch of my stuff on that album Human. And it's funny that you played that song, because actually, like, that song is the first placement that I ever got in a film, and that's happened, I think, you know, it happened last year, so I know that we haven't spoken in the last year, so that was really exciting.
Oh, that's cool. And I think it's interesting for people to and the listening audience. What I try to do on this show, and Joseph, we've been doing this show since 2008, is try to get people to understand, you know, the music industry a little bit and what musicians go through. And when you're talking about a placement on a film, then that plays during at the end of the movie, or is
it can be. It can be like a credit at the end of the movie. That's really ideal. That would be just great, because then it's not underseen. In this case, it was playing in the background in a bar scene, The actress is in the film is Sharon Stone, who just put out this film. She was in this film that came out like a couple of years ago. It's called All I Wish. So she's in this bar scene with her love interest, and this song is playing in the background. So. That was that was kind of a big deal for me. And I got to meet her and the director and stuff.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, did you go to the theater and just sit there and watch the movie and then wait for it to happen? Or did you get like a screening? How did that work?
Well, the cool thing was that a friend of mine, the way I got into this is a friend of mine happened to be doing music supervision for this film. And we're more like acquaintances, but we're friends on social media and stuff. So he's always seen me post music and all these things. So he asked me to send him some music that I thought might go well with certain scenes. So I did. He sent the music to the director, and she happened to fall in love with this song. So that's how I got in. So I actually had the opportunity to go to the premiere where, you know, the stars of the movie were and the director and everyone that worked on it. So, that was really exciting. I was here in Los Angeles, so it was cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, yeah, I have to watch that. Hopefully it's on somewhere I can pick
Amazon.
It up on demand.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You can watch it on Amazon. Director is Susan Walter, who's a really cool person and a great writer, and she wrote the film as well. And, it's called All I Wish. It's about a coming-of-age movie about a woman in her 50s who finally gets the guy, gets the job, gets her life together, but much later in life than, you know, when people usually do it. And I thought it was a great story.
Well, that's cool. So have you had any of your other songs placed in movies or TV?
Not anything, you know, big like that, like a studio film. But I got some really exciting news this week that my new song that I just put out, Listening to Madonna, is now playing in some stores all over the country. There's a company places music in big retail stores, and it's playing in some really big chain stores. And somebody even heard it yesterday and was texting me, and I was like, yep. That's happening. So it's kind of like this thing is like the radio station of some big stores across the country. And that is a huge thing for me, because it's just a great way to get the music out there. So that's been the latest little news bit that I've been excited about.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. I love it when Joseph, like, I'm in a store and my wife and I are walking around and we hear a song and I say, oh yeah, I've interviewed that person, or yeah, I know that band, or it's so cool. It's like, it's people sometimes you put artists and people that are musicians, you know, they're way out there, you know, nobody knows who they are. You can't communicate with them, but it's really awesome when that happens. And so it would be like if you're going through Target or one of those, and because they're always playing like rock and stuff like that. So that's awesome. So,
And it's, you know, for independent artists, it's a great thing. It's just a great way for other people to hear your music, you know.
Yeah, I know we talked about the music industry and things like that, because that's one of the things that, you know, I talk to these musicians that are so amazing and so incredible and have such good music and such skilled songwriters like yourself. Mm. But it's hard to get your music out so people can hear it. And that's the thing in 2019, you know, the distribution of your music, it's not easy. And it's one of those things where, you know, I can understand where it, like somebody hears your song when they're shopping and all they have to do now, I would imagine, is get Shazam on their phone. Right. And go, boop,
right.
And there it is. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, the music industry in a lot of ways has gotten harder, but in other ways, there's definitely more avenues for independent artists to reach out to and go through, you know, to get our music heard. So,
yeah, and I think that's
you're going to
get
in. Yeah.
We have, I live in Ohio, and there's this guy that made a movie here it's like a town over from where I'm at right now. Independent artist. He lives in Los Angeles, and he made a movie, and he made it in our hometown, his little hometown. And it was, you know, you're thinking no one will ever see it. But he got a distribution through Walmart.
Wow.
And and it was
like
it just blew everybody's mind, because all these people were seeing his little movie, and he would go to all these Walmarts and take pictures of his movie in all the different Walmarts. And it's like,
listen, getting anything placed in Walmart or associated with Walmart, it was amazing. I mean, that's like a huge, huge way to distribute and reach millions of people. And that's so cool.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's interesting too, because, you know, just every so often things change so much. Like just recently, and this is crazy, but I'm always on online auctions. I'm always trying to collect different things and music things and memorabilia and things like that. So I was able to buy the Beatles, their whole catalog in cassettes. So it's like, you know, it's crazy. But what's funny is there's a band in New York City called the American Darlings, and they're a really good band.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I'm going to send you our music, and he sent it to me in a cassette, and it was like, okay,
wow.
I don't have a cassette player, but. And I just and then, you know, talk to some people. I don't know if it's something that's happened, you know, out in L.A., but, you know, cassettes are all being used again. You know, artists are putting their music out on cassettes. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the music industry. Okay, so you got vinyl. Then you got 8-track, which is some 8-track, some weird thing that, you know, just I don't even know how to explain that, but then you went into cassette. And I also know a guy in Dallas, Texas, Joseph, who had his name is Bucks Burnett, who had the world's only 8-track museum. How cool is that?
wow!
And people would come from all over.
Yeah,
the world
there's a lot of people that miss the 8-track, because it's like. It didn't have such a long life. So if you weren't around during that time, it's like you really wouldn't even know what it is.
Yeah, and it's I've seen all of this. So, you know, you see the vinyl, then you see the 8-track, which I thought was pretty cool, because it was one of the only ways you could play music in your car. You know, you couldn't bring your stereo in there. So then it went to cassette. And so now it's kind of like it's digital, and now it's like distribution. Do you think if somebody would have said maybe 10 years ago, the way you're going to get, you know, Joseph, your music out, or, you know, other bands and people like that, is to go through Walmart, do you think that would have been something they would have thought, well, that doesn't even sound right? Because what do you think of that? I mean, how things have progressed.
Yeah, I think things have definitely changed drastically in the way that people consume music. I mean, even myself, like, I'll tell you, I have a subscription to Apple Music, and basically I like to have any song I want at my fingertips, you know, with a matter of seconds. I really, really enjoy that. And, you know, I know a lot of us, you know, we miss having the product in our hands and the artwork. And I think the cool thing about tapes coming back and vinyls and stuff is that it's nice to have a package. It's a piece of art, really, because you get the artwork, you get the whole thing. It's an experience. You put it in and you have to stay there and listen to it. You can't skip around and whatever. So I think that is a different experience of music. But let's face it, most of us are listening to music, you know, in our cars, on the run, at the gym, wherever. Yep. So it's kind of like more about convenience now. So yeah, I think it's changed a lot. But we've changed a lot as a society. But I do like to think that it's going to go back to being more of an experience where you can sit and listen through an entire album beginning to end, like we used to do, you know, which is not something a lot of people do anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And it's like, also you have to think of the concert piece of it, like playing in a place where people actually sit down and listen to you.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes you play if you're a musician, so you know that if you get a gig in a bar or a place that's very busy and there's a lot going on and you're thinking, hey, hello, I'm over here. You know, it's like, everybody be quiet. But, you know, it's just kind of like that. I've had musicians tell me that you just have to tune it out and play. But I kind of remember when, like, you would go to hear a musician and everybody would be quiet and just take it in, like you're talking about with sitting down and listening to vinyl. It's more of a concert, like you know, the traditional style where, you know, you an intimate situation with the musician. So how do you handle your live stuff, Joseph? I mean, do you, and I always like to ask musicians, like, do you prefer the live side of it or the studio side of it, or is there both a life for both of them? But how do you handle and make sure that when you're doing a live show, that you're connecting with your audience?
You know, you kind of, for me, I have like 50-50%, like basically 50% of my gigs are the gigs like you were talking about before, where you're playing at a restaurant or, you know, brunch show or a bar or something. And you're kind of like background music in a way until you play something that everybody recognizes and everybody stops. And that's the time that usually sneak in one of your originals, because you get everybody's attention, right? And then you just, you know, you go, oh, and now I'm going to play a song that I wrote. And everybody goes, oh, wow, that's good, you know. But you can't get attached. Like, I don't, like you said, you kind of just have to tune out the noise, because people are there. They're not, a lot of those gigs, they're not there just to see you. They're there to hang out and have a good time and have drinks and meet with their friends. So they're not going to stop what they're doing just to listen to the show. But the lesson I learned from those shows is that there's always people who are completely tuned in. And you can't tell sometimes, but you'll be done with the show and you'll be like, oh, yeah, that was kind of one of those pub shows. But then somebody walks up to you and starts talking to you about certain songs that you played and asking questions. And you're going, oh, I where were you? You know? And
that's
so
awesome.
So it's just important to keep in mind that there's always people that are there that are really appreciating what you're doing. But one of my favorite things to do is play house concerts, which is something that's become very common these days. I think it's always been around, but people are really making an effort to do it now more, is you know, to throw house concerts in their homes, fill their home with 20 to 50 people, you know, and just have that real intimate, beautiful give and take and experience and storytelling. And I love doing those. I love when I get hired for those. You know, so there's a mix, and I think there's always been a mix of shows that you're going to have where you're going to have those connections, and then shows where you're like, okay, I'm doing this because I'm getting paid, and it's a job, and that's cool.
Yeah, it's you made a great point about the house concerts, because we've had a couple here, and it's different than, you know, you would think just, oh, well, I'm just going to hire somebody to play, and they're going to be over here in the corner playing. I mean, it's a real show, and it's,
yeah,
you know, ticket sales and the whole thing. And it's popular here too, Joseph. It's one of those things where I really enjoy it. I think it's one, because my favorite thing is when you can hear a musician in a setting that, you know, you can really connect. And that's the best thing. Sometimes, you know, you can tell if it's a huge venue or outdoors or something, there can be a lot of distractions. But I really like it when you can sit and listen to the musician and get exactly what they, you know, want you to feel out of the music. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
So my guess is
I even it's funny. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, have you been to any concerts lately where you know it's a really big artist, maybe, you know, and all you see is people's phones up recording the show? And I think that's another funny thing that's changed drastically is, you know, and I catch myself doing it sometimes when I'm out there watching someone I love and I want to get a moment to share with friends. But that to the artist must be a little bit annoying, I think, because they're like, hey, you know, be here with me right now. Don't worry about just recording the show, because they're watching the show through their phones. They're watching the show through their phones when they're there and they're not really looking at the stage, and they're missing those really beautiful moments.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, we went to see Bob Dylan, and he prohibits any kind of pictures or videos. So if you get your phone out, they'll come over and get you.
Good
different.
For him. Good for him. I like that. Good for him. Because it's like if you weren't there, sorry, you don't get to see it, you know?
I think they probably sell, you know, some things like, you know, of the show, but he's really, you know, when we went there, they told you when you walked in, you know, you can take your phone with you, but you can't take pictures or videos. We'll come and get your phone. And they were taking people's phones.
Good.
So, yeah, but I do understand, you know, it's respect of the artist. I really like that too. It was one of it just happened to be, Joseph, a concert that I walked, one of the only concerts I've ever walked out on, but that's a whole nother story, but it's
I know it's not the same. I've heard that a lot. It's not what you think it's going to be.
No, it was. It totally wasn't. I mean, he didn't play any songs that I'd ever heard of, except for one, and he played it within an arrangement that I didn't know what it was. So it was like, I guess he likes to do that. You know, it's like my show, and I'm going to do it. So it was pretty. He didn't talk to the audience once. He didn't say one word to anybody. It was like, are we in your way? You know, are we bothering you today?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But I wish I had seen him. I wish I saw him when, you know, when he was still playing his, you know.
The songs.
Some of the hits. And it's a song. Playing songs.
Yeah.
When he was playing songs.
Yeah, when Bob Dylan was playing songs. It was this guy. It's funny. We were sitting there talking before the concert, and this guy turned around. He said, "You're not going to like this." He said, "Everything you're talking about is not going to happen."
Wow.
He's not going to play any songs, you know. He's not going to talk. He's not going to go back in time. He's not going to play anything. He's going to play. He's put his last couple albums have been standard songs from like the 40s and 50s, well, mostly the 40s. And so he plays a lot of those, and actually they're good, but it's, I mean, to me, you're talking about one of the people, Joseph, that is one of the rocks of, you know, of all of folk and rock music. I mean, he's right up there with the Beatles and, all those guys. So, yeah.
Totally.
But
I mean, he influenced so many people, so many.
Yeah.
Every musician, I feel like, in some ways influenced by him.
Yeah, and Jacob's playing around a lot with I've got some friends out in Los Angeles that have been playing with him a lot, Jacob Dylan playing with I think they were on Late Show last night, but
nice.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. But I guess he's pretty cool, and his concerts are really good. But let's talk about your stuff. The new song, Listening to Madonna. That is your single release. It's a video. It's a great video. Yeah. I mean, man, you guys are having a blast, and it's like it's so much fun in that. And I think one of the things I got out of that, Joseph, was there's a lot of things happening in the world today that can, you know, bring you down and make people. It's kind of a sad time right now with what the things like. Just in Ohio, we had a very terrible tragedy just a few days ago. And I think there's a place for people to use music and use art to kind of get out of that and not to forget it, but to understand that, you know, there's joy in life and there's good things in life. And we just can't sit around and think about, you know, the things that are happening right now at a point where we want to take action and help. But there's also got to be a time where, you know, you just have to enjoy life. And that's kind of getting harder to do. But talk about the video and making the video and how it's, because I think, Joseph, a lot of people don't understand what all goes into that. I mean, they look at it and they think, how do you do that? Anybody can make a video, but that's not true. Talk about how you like the production of it and the whole thing.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that. And also, before I go into that, I just want to agree with you on the points you were making. I think I was discussing this last night at a venue with a friend. We went out and played some music and just how happy I am right now to be promoting something happy, you know, and to have a song that's really upbeat and it's a feel good song, because yes, everybody needs to be picked up a little bit right now. And I think, you know, one of the jobs, one of the purposes of artists, should be to lift people up and to give them another option, you know, to give them another reality to kind of tap into and feel better. So this song is definitely like a summer feel good song, and I'm glad people are enjoying it. The video, we wanted to create a video that just basically communicated that joy, you know. So I called up my friend Patrick, who is the director of this video, and I told him that. I said, hey, I got to play you a new song. Almost finished, you know, and I want to do something that's really fun, you know, that just kind of, you know, communicates this message of just being yourself and loving yourself, loving your path and your journey and just having a good time. And then we just started brainstorming, you know, and kind of got to this idea of doing, we're like, let's just throw a party. Let's throw a party, a backyard party. Cause you know, as an independent artist, I also don't have a huge budget to do this, you know, got like $1,000 or something that I got to make this video. Which people might say, that's impossible. How can you do it for just that? Well, we did it for under that, you know, like basically.
That's cool.
We called up our friends, some people that we really enjoy, and we said, hey, do you want to be in my video? Like, you know, we're going to do a backyard party. I'm going to have drinks. I'm going to have some food and pizza and whatever. And all I need for you guys to do is just come and be your eccentric, beautiful, selves, you know. And a lot of our friends who came are artists doing their thing here too, so you know, there's a bunch of people that said yes to it, and all we did was we got a drone, Chance Artworks, these guys who are very talented, and they operated the drone, and basically we just decided to do a one shot video from beginning to end, just have it be one shot without cutting, you know. So that was kind of what our goal was, and it was a lot of fun, and it was kind of easy because they operated the drone, and the drone just followed me from the beginning of the backyard through the party, you know, interacting with friends and people, everything that was done was kind of like spontaneous, you know, just so it's just, it's kind of like a you know, sneak peek into just a day in LA hanging out with a bunch of friends.
Was it weird with the drone? I mean, I'm trying to imagine it. It was just flying around, and I know that's under control, but were you,
yeah.
I'm trying to, in my head, figure that out. It was just like they sit there with a remote, and it's following you, and it's – how far away was it from you?
It was about one, two, three, probably like about 3 or 4 feet from me the whole time for most of the time. In the beginning, it was further away, and it kind of like comes in, and then from that point on, we do this dance where I'm about 4 feet away from it for the whole video, and it's kind of like it is a dance because sometimes the drone just kind of didn't move the way that the operators moved it, so I had to adjust and be like, okay, I can't go there right now, so I got to wait for the drone to move, you know. So it's kind of it was fun, and we did it I think about 5 or 6 times, and one of those times was the one that we used. But yeah, you know, at one point it lost a little control, and I think it hit the tree. But but you
those
know,
crazy
other
drones.
Than that, yeah. Other than that, you know, it's a little tiny little helicopter thing, and it was the first time I've ever worked with something like that. But definitely,
yeah.
We accomplished what we set out to do, which was really. It was definitely a satisfying experience for me.
Yeah, it looks great. I would have never thought it was a drone because I don't know that much about camera work. So, that whole thing is kind of lost to me, but it came out really good. So
thank you.
Talk about you wrote this song. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Talk about that because I think it's incredible. I mean – the songwriting ability of people, if people don't, I mean, there might be people listening, Joseph, that like we talked about watching a video, don't really understand how it's put together, but also it's like with the song itself, it's an incredible gift. Talk about how you go about writing songs and how you wrote this one. Was it kind of like, okay, the music's here, we'll put the lyrics together. How did it work?
In this case, it was kind of like a concept that I had. I just kept having that line come to me, you know, like the whole like listening to Madonna thing, because I was going back to the 80s, time that I kind of woke up to life and music and stuff, and just remembering, you know, watching MTV and being a kid that was a little bit different, you know, that I wasn't outside playing sports with the guys and whatever. I was hanging out with the girls. I was listening to Madonna, you know, and it wasn't like the cool thing to do at that time, you know, and it was something that I was hiding, and I wanted to be like everyone else, but I wasn't, you know. I was a writer and I was an introvert and I was all these things. And I kind of wanted to write a song for that kid, you know, to be like, hey, you were cool and it's cool to be different and it's okay. And life is going to work out, you know, like your uniqueness is going to actually become, you know, a great thing about you. And,
right. Yeah.
And, you know,
that,
everyone's
cool.
Different, all this stuff. So I just wanted to put all this into a song. And I just remember, you know, just, kind of sitting at home, and just, it just all came out, you know, I just, the first line, you know, I was doing fine in 89, had my Walkman strapped on by my side. And then just seriously, it was kind of just started coming. And I just didn't want to inhibit myself. I didn't censor anything. I wanted to write an honest song about kind of, you know, my life and the decades as they flew by. And, you know, it's a gift, really, which I don't understand sometimes, because there's definitely a lot of technique that goes into it. But mostly when you write a song, it feels like it comes through you, that it is given to you. It is given to you as a gift too, you know, and you could have an idea of what you want to write about, but when the music comes together with the lyrics and you're just like, okay, I'm in the zone. This is coming through me. I've just got to allow it and just keep writing. You know, it's going to happen.
Now, when you're in that zone, Joseph, I mean, do you have to kind of like tell people to leave you alone? It's like, because I can just imagine you don't want it to, it's kind of like this elusive thing that can leave and you may not be able to get it back.
Yes. Yeah. When you're in it and it's happening and it's good, I mean, hours can go by and you're just trying to make a lyric work or a rhyme work or, you know, a verse just to, it's like putting a puzzle piece together, you know, puzzle pieces together. And it's just, so yeah, during those times, I don't answer calls. I don't look at my phone. I'm just there. Sometimes, you know, then you just go, okay, I need a break. And you go out with friends or you go to work or whatever you got to do. And then you're still writing the song because you're in your car. And now you have the structure in your head and you're still thinking about it and it won't leave you until it's done. Like I'm working on some new music right now and, you know, I might run out of time at home, but then I'm driving somewhere and I'm thinking about this song thinking, okay, well, what's going to be a good chorus for this? Or what do I really want to say here? So it's kind of like you don't really sometimes have to be confined in your own, you know, sanctuary to do it. You can kind of do it anywhere. You know, you're in line waiting somewhere, you can be working on your song.
Right. And I've heard people say that, Joseph, that it can, you know, I've talked to hundreds of songwriters and asked them the question, you know, what's the process? It's like, if you could write that process down, people could follow it, but nobody can say that to me, you know, because it's all different and everything is, I think that's the coolest thing about music. It's this ocean there's no end to it. So you can't capture it because it's just, it's mystical and it's mysterious and it's amazing. And I think that, you know, it's so cool when songs like that come to your head. And do you, like out of let's say a normal day for Joseph, how much of that is music in your head? Is there music going through your head?
So much of the day is that. Like,
And
seriously, I'm so grateful because I think if it wasn't for that, I don't know where I'd be because I'm a very sensitive person by nature and I, you know, I'm very affected by stuff that happens around me and just, you know, the world and whatever. So to have something that I can connect to and plug into, like music really helps me stay, connected to something good, you know, because there's so much coming at all of us. And if you guys can, anybody out there listening, you know, like if you have one thing that you can connect with that is very simple, like what, and artistic in any way, you know, painting something, writing something, drawing something, you know, getting into films, whatever it is, it's really important because, you know, you go mad if you just spend your time, you know, just, you know, listening to the news or whatever.
Yeah, being serious about it. I totally agree with you. I think there's this thing that I've asked the question before, is there a responsibility that artists have to society right now? Because there's things that are not, that people aren't getting. Kids aren't getting, adults aren't getting.
Yeah.
People are missing it. And it's that creative thing when what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Because when you become creative, you become confident. And then you're a whole different person. And you're thinking your life has a meaning and a purpose. And my daughter, she's a counselor, a therapist at a children's hospital, and she works with kids that are having a rough time, you know. And it's incredible, Joseph, how art has turned numerous kids around. I mean, they try all these things, discipline and all this kind of stuff, and they get them to focus in, like you said, find that thing. You know, what is it? You want to draw a picture?
Yep.
Draw a picture. I don't care what it is. Just draw it. You know, it's
right.
Like.
Right.
But they won't.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
because
great. And it's like. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Please finish.
No, I was just talking about music and art and things like that, how that they were like I've heard people talk about they can't communicate sometimes with kids because they won't talk about the problems. They won't talk about things that are bothering them and things like that. But when they could get them to express themselves, whether it's just, okay, draw your feelings, put them out there.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm feeling really dark stuff right now. We'll put it out there. Let's see what it is.
Yes.
Now we can deal with this. And I think that's what it is with music with me. It's with my life. It's like with art and with music, it's that, okay, life has meaning. You know, it's incredible. And it's mysterious. I like the part of it, Joseph, that you can't get to the end of it. You can't figure it out.
Yeah.
It will never be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And the more you try, you know, it's like a trap. Like, you can't try to do that. You just have to exist. You know, you have to be present. I think the beautiful thing about the creative arts and getting into something creative is that it is while you're creating, you can't not be present. And
yeah, that's a
great
point. And
being present, you know, I mean, when people meditate, they feel better. Why do they feel better? Because they're being present. They're being in the present moment. They're being human beings, right? So when you create, no matter what it is you're doing, you could be building a table, you know, whatever, you're in the moment. You're in the present moment. And there's something very good about that. We're supposed to be in that place more, you know, rather than being in the place of worrying about something happening or thinking, regretting something, you know. Those are the things that kind of bring you down. So I think anytime you do something creative, you're tapping into that present moment. And that's where that's where the light is. You know, that's where the good stuff is.
That's absolutely perfect because, you know, my daughter, and I'll have her tell her to listen to this because I'm going to mention her. But, her, you know, Emily, she teaches mindfulness, you know, to kids. And it's the art of being present. That's basically, you nailed it. It's all that it is. Just, okay, so you're worried about yesterday and you're all freaked out about tomorrow and you don't know, you know, what about right now? How about that? And it's like, okay.
Like, so
it's
important,
awesome.
What she's doing. So important.
Well, let's play Listening to Madonna. And my guest is Joseph Eade, and you can go to his website. It's josepheedemusic.com. And we're going to play the song. We'll come back for the wrap up the interview and talk about things that are going on and some of the projects and gigs. And you said you were working on new music. So this is Joseph's latest song, Listening to Madonna. You're listening to Independent Music Showcase on John Talk Radio. I'm your host, John Darlington. We'll be right back.
Around, I
I want to welcome everyone back to John Talk Radio's Independent Music Showcase. I'm your host, John Darlington. Josephita is my special guest. We just heard his latest single, Listening to Madonna, and you can check it out on YouTube. It's a great video. And, Joseph, that's a really cool song. How did you, like when you went into the studio, can you talk about the musicians you used to put this together and how that worked?
Yeah, I'd love to. I knew when I went into the studio, I wanted to produce a track that was, even though the song is called Listening to Madonna, I did not want to produce a pop track. You know, that's not what the point was. The point was that's, even though it references Madonna, my music is not that genre necessarily. So I wanted to do something that was true to all the stuff that I was doing, but I did want to give it a little bit more of a pop flair than the past stuff that I was doing. But I wanted it to drive, and I knew that I wanted to work with Ted Wolfers, who is a friend, who is a great producer, multi-instrumentalist, super talented guy. So I played him the song, and we started building it, and we basically played everything. I played acoustic guitar, electric guitars, and ukulele in the beginning, and he played drums, bass, organ, lead. So we did the whole thing in his studio.
Wow.
And and the point was we wanted a song to kick. Kick butt and just like be a summer anthem. And, it's got a lot of folk elements. It's got rock elements. It's got pop elements. It is just kind of just kept happening. We worked on it for about a month. I mean, it was a long time to work on one song, but I wanted to make sure that, I was more than pleased with it, and it turned out great. So I'm very happy.
It did turn out great. Are you a perfectionist in the studio, Joseph?
Absolutely. absolutely. And so is he. Like, we're both Virgos. If you believe in any astrology stuff, but like that's one of the traits of Virgos. And then he's one too. So us together in a room was like, we are not going to let this go until it was, the absolute best we could do. So, gotta do the work.
Yeah, that's always interesting to me too, because is there a point where you're thinking, I just gotta let this go? I know there have been people that I've talked to that just, we have to do it again, we have to do the track again, we have to do it this, and is there a place where you have to say to yourself, okay, this is it, this is what we want, we're not gonna, is there a cutting off point?
Yes, you can. You're right. You can work forever on something. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people don't end up releasing any material because they're too much of perfectionists and they're afraid of putting anything out because they don't think it's good enough. I think for me in the studio, it's not so much about it being everything being perfect. It's just about when I perform it, was I really, really feeling connected? And for me, like, I could perform something technically, technically perfect or whatever, but if I'm not feeling a connection and a presence when I'm doing it, then I'm not going to be happy with it, because I'm going to be like, hey, I was in my head, or I feel like it was artificial or whatever. I didn't feel like natural when I sang it that way. In this case, funny enough, the vocal that's on this track is like the first – mostly the first take. And it's just because that was, I hadn't really sung the song in the studio. We just walked in, I had just like a guitar track, and I sang it. I felt it. I felt every line. And then we did more takes and other days and stuff, and then just kept going back to that take. And I'm like, that's the one, because I remember how that felt. So yeah, for me, it's just about the performance. The performance has to be charge, it has to be passionate, and if it's not passionate, then I'm not going to be happy with it.
That's a great point. So what's going on as far as, like, you have any gigs or shows or projects you're working on you would like to talk about?
Yeah, for anyone who is listening who lives in the Los Angeles area, I've got a really fun show coming up at the Andaz Hotel. It's called the Andaz. I think it's pronounced Andaz, A-N-D-A-Z. And it's a summer series, and I'm playing two dates there. The first one is on August 16th, and the second one is on September 20th. And it's a nice fancy hotel, rooftop, pool, deck, party, that whole thing. So I'm playing for about 3 hours on the 16th. And, you know, and then I've got a bunch of weddings and private party gigs and stuff coming up. But that's exciting for August. But that's kind of the show that I'm promoting right now. And I've been writing some new songs and getting geared up to record a new album. I just have to figure out the logistics of how that's going to happen exactly, because it's a huge investment. So I'm kind of also at the same time looking for an investor or several investors who are willing to support this project, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point too, because when I have been, you know, supporting independent musicians, and I try to tell people, mm-hmm. I said, none of this stuff is free. You know, studios aren't free. None of it is. And you know, just please support your independent musicians. That's just the greatest thing. Well, Joseph, it's been great talking to you again. I really appreciate you being on the show, and I really enjoy your music. And is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, thank you. I just want to, you know, just thank you for supporting independent artists and, you know, and for just being so present with me in this conversation. I had a great time chatting with you again, and thanks for your support.
No problem, and we'll definitely have to schedule another show. And the best of luck
to you.
And everybody check Joseph's website out, josepheedmusic.com, and have a great evening, and we'll talk to everybody later. And thanks a lot, Joseph.
Thank you.
My neighbor down the hall knows the dirt on everyone. He's got secrets to tell. And the new guy who lives by the front door stands out there all alone. Yeah, he's got weakness to sell. And there's the actress downstairs with a dog who's dying, and he cries, and he cries when she goes out. And there's a tattooed healer who's more like a dealer of things you don't want to know about. And I watch it all fall down. From the roof to the walls to the ground. I watch a dream sink, go. They keep on telling me go. The old lady by the stairs, been living there for 40 years. Yes, she's got stories of fright. And she tells tales of ghosts in the halls, from tenants who lived here before, and the way that they died. And then she touches my face and says, I remember the man in your place. And that's when I slowly start to back out. And I say, lady, thank you for the history, but I really gotta go. You see, there's some things I don't wanna know about. And I watch it all fall down. From the roof to the walls to the ground. I watch a dream sink. Go. They keep on telling me, go. But it's for something more. There's a pain in his eyes when he walks by with his girl hand in hand. He sneaks a look my way and I understand. See, there's a lie that he's hiding. And there's my friend upstairs for me with a series of conspiracy. And I always seem to run into him when I've been drinking. And he says to smoke this joint, my friend, and don't bother making any plans, cause this ship is sinking. I watched it all fall down from the roof to the wall to the crown. Round I watch a dream sink, oh, they keep on telling me, go, they keep on telling me, they keep on telling me, they keep on telling me, go, go, they keep on telling me, go. Keep on telling me.